Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th of June, recording at, oh my goodness, it's 10:12 p.m. That's British summer time. Later than usual. I'm doing a little bit more writing here today and a few other things because I'm not going to be here tomorrow. That's a pity for me, at any rate, because it's so exciting. Now, the markets, that is. Now, what's going on here today? Asian stock markets, mostly steady, although China was down a tiny bit. The European stock markets had a pretty good day after a little bit of seesawing. And the Americas went gangbusters. The U.S. market really went from strength to strength throughout most of the day and closed at the highs with the Dow up 273 points. That's 2.76%. We had a similar percentage gain on the NASDAQ composite. And the S&P was up 31 points to almost 1087. And that was nearly 3% on the upside. So exciting stuff. The long-dated government bonds, they weakened against this background, not surprisingly. The long bond is down 1 26/32 points as I speak. Elsewhere, the U.S. dollar, that was clipped fairly hard in here today, down 843 points on the U.S. dollar index. And despite that, gold drifted a little bit lower. I guess it's the old story of more competition once again, but not drastically lower. Gold's currently at $1,217.55. The resources currencies were really quite strong in here. Sterling had a pretty good day, up to 147.05 against the U.S. dollar. The soft commodities didn't do a whole lot, but were mostly firmer against this background, not surprisingly, with the dollar coming off. And crude oil I'd left out in the industrials. That is up a dollar, 75.45. And the industrial metals were mostly steadier, although I think nickel and zinc were down slightly. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, we're having quite a tug of war in stock markets, and not just stock markets. We're seeing a similar sort of thing in some of the currencies and also the bond markets against this background of uncertainty. Now, for the last 3 days that I have been doing these audios, and you remember before I went away, when was it? I think on the 25th of May, and I'd said we were due for a technical rally, and fortunately we got that. And then fast forward, and markets were clobbered last Friday. Big downward dynamics, key day reversals, and so on. And some follow through again on Tuesday for the most part. On this Monday. But today's action is really quite strong overall. But I have said during the 3 previous days that while I was sort of uncertain here as to whether this would hold or not, that there was more technical evidence that was negative, and that we'd had the breaks of the rising 200-day moving averages, not by all indices, but by a number. We'd had some erosion of support, some breaks in some but not all of the progressions of higher reaction lows. We'd certainly seen bigger corrections than we had seen previously for most stock markets, or than we saw during that January correction. The VIX had pushed sharply higher, head spread, widening, so on. So there was a lot of evidence that was technically biased to the negative side. There was also a welter of bearish opinion generally. I mean, okay, I spent 8 market days during this saga in Heian-Y, pretty much out of the action on that holiday. But in trying to catch up, looking at the things that have been crossing my desk, and I've far from caught up with my emails, but there was just so much bearish commentary, and some of it seriously bearish. And the old bears that were sort of on the television programs daily back in the fourth quarter of 2008 and the first quarter of 2009, practically to a man, forecasting depressions, well, they've all been rolled out and dusted down and have been voicing scary opinions. So there's lots of apocalypse stuff in the air, and that's usually a contrary indicator. In terms of behavioral and technical analysis, and I touched on this in my audio last night, that it's human nature that the last really significant occurrence in people's market lives, they feel is going to be somewhere around a future corner in the not too distant future. So when you have a shocking event such as the 2008 collapse, it's hardly surprising that a lot of people expect a repeat. And there are also a lot of people who want a repeat, mainly those who got out, often whether they got out reasonably early in the middle of the decline or capitulated towards the end. If they didn't come back in when those bullish signals were flashing and the Fuller Money themes were leading the way on the upside, having hit their lows in October of 2008, if they didn't get back in, or if they missed a big chunk of that wonderful rally in 2009, then they've got more of a vested interest in the double dip and in talk of a retest of the March lows, or even worse, I've heard recently, for Wall Street and some of the other indices. Well, that's somewhat understandable, and it's all good, clean fun. But I think it's a bit emotional, and I don't agree with it. Now, in terms of technical action, facts, bottom line here, and I said it and I wrote it yesterday, is that Wall Street really does need to hold on those lows that were hit in the first half of May, retested, and have been twice retested subsequently. In other words, the S&P really does need to stay above that low that we had seen down at 10, I think it's down around 1040. And you can see it on the chart, of course, and I posted it yesterday. It closed tonight at 1086.84. So that's not a huge amount of breathing space, and of that gain, most of it occurred this evening. Now, if we get a breach of that 1034, I beg your pardon, 1040, repeat that, if we get a breach of 1040 on the S&P index for more than a day or two or three, sentiment's going to deteriorate once again, and I think there would be every probability that we would see an additional sell-off for global stock markets. moving down first to 1,000, and then people would be looking for 980, and so on. And then we would be back looking at the upper side of the 2009 base formations. So that's what has to happen to open the door to the downside. Meanwhile, there's some interesting developments. The Asian stock markets, and there's been kind of a major flap about Asia, they are, for the most part, firmer, particularly the ones that had been firm all along. Those are the suppliers to China, Indonesia, the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, and they're all really quite firm. India has been ranging for ages, but it's still holding up in here despite this supply threat that the government has introduced, which is of some concern, but it hasn't caused the market to break down. Not yet, at any rate. So today, I would say that we still have this, well, the obvious point, we still have this very choppy, volatile tug of war between the bulls and the bears. But the bears certainly haven't had it all their own way recently. And if we see stock markets pushing up and breaking the progressions of lower rally highs, then I think we will see a sentiment start to improve once again. Now, I've sort of emotionally, analytically budgeted for a fair amount of choppy sideways ranging at this time. But I'm not interested really in selling. I'm more interested in buying, particularly having, well, you've said that. I did sell my Liher gold, and due to the previous strength of the Australian dollar and the performance, that was a decent chunk of capital, and I am wanting to put that back to work. I also have some other cash that I've said previously I was in no hurry, but the point I'm trying to make is I'm thinking about buying, not selling in here. That's the message that's relevant here, I think, in terms of conveying how I assess this overall. And I've also said on a number of occasions that I wouldn't be surprised if China led the way back up. Well, if not China, the Asian region, that's got the strong growth. Why shouldn't it? Wall Street has done very well in terms of overall relative performance. Although I notice, here's an interesting statistic. Well, I think it's interesting. Looking at my Bloomberg screen right now, I can see that today's rally has pushed the Toronto Composite Index and the Mexican IPC Index back slightly into the profit column for this year, and the S&P's decline has on the year is only 2.5% as of tonight's close. So, that's not the end of the world, exactly. And I think people are too bearish overall. Now, I will, if Wall Street takes out that 1040 level, I will almost certainly reopen some short positions. Or if we run up further and then start to lose momentum, I might do a little bit of short hedging as I did before. But again, I think people are a bit too bearish in here, and I think the Fuller Money themes are showing some encouraging improvements, technically following their corrections where they occurred. Okay, that's gone on a long way. Now, what about, I've spent a lot of time on that, but now let's see, what about these bonds? Well, I shorted the treasuries, or you may recall, I shorted the U.S. Treasury long bond last night. Owen shorted the bunds. If we get steadier stock markets, and if we get some subsidence in the crisis mentality. Remember my point on crises, that they have to be seen to be continuing to deteriorate to have an ongoing effect on the markets. So if people say, well, wait a minute, maybe the euro isn't actually completely finished here right now, and maybe even Greece is going to stay in the euro for a little longer, or maybe the ECB has bought a few months or maybe even a year or whatever, then you start getting the euro rallying, and you start getting the bond prices coming down following that somewhat panicky flight into the long-dated government bonds. Because I'm going to be away tomorrow, I put in a break-even short on my treasury bond short position. Okay, what else? U.S. dollar. On my brief summary in last night's comment, I listed some of the extreme trends. You know, long-dated government bond prices being overextended on the upside, euro's trend, sterling's trend being overextended on the downside. The US dollar's trend being overextended on the upside. It's taken a couple of big hits in here now. This one, today's hit is particularly large, and those resources currencies are bouncing back. I like the resources currencies. They have the better yields generally. They've had a huge shakeout, and I think we'll see a steadier phase. I'm annoyed with myself for losing my Australian long against the Japanese yen position, because I protected right by I put in too tight a stop. Excuse me. But point is, say that these resources currencies, I think, are going to be steady more often than they're weak. And one of the reasons why they were so weak is that people felt that there was going to be a big slowdown in China. That's an exaggeration, because we just haven't seen it, as you saw yesterday from China's figures in terms of exports and GDP growth. So the people who really know China are saying that it's going to grow at about 10% per annum, more or less, for the foreseeable future. If so, and in an uncertain world, you know, you say, well, okay, maybe it will, but there's nothing that I see in the evidence to suggest that it won't. And I actually think China's backing off on the tightening, because they've had some success in the in reining in property prices, and Owen's got some comments on that in his comment here today. So let's put it this way. If China, following a very significant correction, at least on the A shares, which most of us don't get to trade, but if China is still ticking along at 10% per annum, and I would assume corporations doing at least as well for the most part, what does that do to valuations when sentiment begins to improve? Well, it's a rhetorical question, really, but I'll answer it anyway. It says to me that valuations go a lot higher. So I that does that definitely interests me. All right. What else now? A gold, and from an investment standpoint, I think it's still very much a hold. Would I be putting most of my money in gold? No, and I never do anything like that. But I think the gold story is pretty well understood. But something I've mentioned before, and it's a good one, and I agree with it. But something I mentioned before is that from time to time, gold faces a lot more competition. A few weeks ago, people felt, or even a few days ago, a lot of people felt that gold was about the only game in town other than some of these bond markets. Now, if stock markets begin to look a little firmer, and that will siphon off some of the short-term money that's been supporting gold, or if it doesn't do that, if nobody sells their gold, what will happen is that more of the new money will flow instead of into gold. Because it's no longer the only game in town, and they'll put some of that money into equities as well. And I don't think that's a bad idea. Meanwhile, that's a wrap, and all the very best to all of you. I'll be back on Monday.